a wet solidarity Brekkie team listener when the awful thought. If we think yesterday was unbearable, here's the bad news, it's going to get worse. When we turned on the radio yesterday morning, there was nothing else. Even the news service has just repeated the in-between wall-to-wall with no other news. Nothing else had happened in the whole world. And it's going to get much, much more unbearable. When they get round to the coronation of our new king, His Most Gracious Majesty, it'll be like a flying crown. Trillions of dollars in jewels with these two big ears sticking out. I was taken by a crowd outside Buckingham Palace singing God Save the Queen, Long May She Reign Over Us, and I thought, interesting that, seeing she was now dead. Although I was deeply moved by a Church of England vicar who said his wife and he had picked up the kids from swimming lessons when they heard the funereal music and realised, oh no, and they decided that instead of going home and praying by their bedside, they would go to the palace and pray there. How beautiful, how very, very beautiful. One bit of advice, though, for governments or corporations who want to bury bad news. Release the reports or the news in the next several days and no one will ever know. Now to the serious news, the very stuff of the week that was. As the government applauds the success of getting caring employers and lazy Aboriginal workers together, two of the architects of the 80s Accord, the world's greatest worst ex-treasurer Paul and then ACTU Secretary Little Billy Kiltthem, have there ever been two greater fighters for working people, have come out with strong views about the Better Off Overall test, the BOOT. Obviously, they oppose changes that would make any worker worse off, I hear. Well, no, not quite. They oppose it because it won't make workers worse off. I myself have negotiated deals which left some people worse off. Little Billy boasted. But he pointed out because the deals led to productivity improvements, which doubtless he would have supported following consultations with his very, very close corporate mates like transport behemoth Lindsay Trucks. Thus, he said, by making some workers worse off, improvements were fairly shared. Oh, well, yes, presumably between the caring employers and the caring employers. Not sure the some workers worse off would have seen themselves sharing the improvements. In an interview for the 30th anniversary of Compulsory Super, Paul and Little Billy described themselves as, wait for it, revolutionaries. Oh, listener, but that they were. Revolutionaries who confronted and defeated the Marxist left there. Revolutionaries who saw the Marxist left as the enemy. Revolutionaries boasting they did deals with caring employers to make workers worse off. Revolutionaries who opposed the BOOT scheme because it doesn't make workers worse off. Still, Little Billy didn't need to tell us he sold workers down the drain. That's why the week that was always spoke so highly of him way back then, as his legacy and Paul's legacy can be seen in the spectacular decline of trade union membership since they stitched up the Accord and the then huge unionised workforce with it, with friends like... 30 years on, big Supremo Anthony Albanese declared he supported great Trubla Wazzy resource giants extracting and exporting as much coal and gas as they can, taking advantage of record prices generating record profits. But with the rider that we could extract and export as much as we like while addressing climate change. No, I've got no idea either, listener. Must say, if Anthony hadn't assured us there is no contradiction there, we might have thought there was a slight problem. But no, Anthony assures us polluting to our heart's content is part of our commitment to reducing polluting to our heart's content. Anthony, the magician. And he obviously thought we didn't need an explanation. And anyway, the proof is in the bottom line. Whitewash Haven Coal, for instance, announced a 2,300%, real figure, listener, profit increase to $2 billion, while all the other great responsible resource giants also announced huge profits, which are just so good for the country. I'm sure we're all feeling heaps better off. Although perhaps not quite so good for the environment. Well, the natural environment, but so what? It's good for the only environment that matters. And our minister for going overseas all the time and being a perfectly good little prefect, petty left wing, has urged Woodside with profits to reach an agreement with Timor-Leste to open up yet another gas venture, which will also do wonders for the environment. And true to form, former Minister for Fossils Angus Tailings, now caring business class big economic guru, offered wise advice for the socialists to save money thanks to the huge debt it inherited from his lot. Abandon plans to waste money on new transmission lines which would facilitate the access of renewable energy into the grid. A leopard never changes. And wasting resources on renewables would be a threat to fossils, and we now know fossils are the clean solution to fossils. And we can't think of a much bigger fossil than Angus. Anyway, even if extracting and exporting and utilising to our heart's content doesn't quite help in addressing climate change, if there is such a thing, no worries. We can always plant a few trees out the back of Bali somewhere and problem solved. Following that 2,300% profit increase, we asked big fossil whitewash Haven Coal what huge pay increase it would obviously now give its workers, but sadly it turned out it was not that obvious. Well, one thing was obvious. Obviously, whitewash Haven stated the obvious, now is not the time to be asking for a pay rise. Do they want to set back the recovery? The evil unions think we're made of money. Bad luck. But the good news is caring employers will tell us when the time is right. A $2,300 profit increase just isn't quite enough or time enough. Although justifying pouring heaps more profits into the coffers of the big four, the banks, Reserve Bank Governor Philip Lowe, Wages for You, said one justification for another rate rise was incomes are rising, which would have been a bit of a surprise to families attempting to balance the banks, screaming out for the spiralling mortgage payments against feeding and clothing themselves and the kids, or seeking and paying for health care in our free health system. Unfortunately for them, Philip Lowe Wages foresaged that the rising incomes were a major problem. Workers must be prepared to accept very difficult cuts to real wages over the next 12 months because the alternative would be far worse. Direct quote. How can we satirise that? Far worse than starving to death in a comfortable little gutter somewhere. The clue is for the parents to cuddle up really closely with the kids tucked up between them to keep the kids warm at night. Fortunately, on the positive side, Philip clearly doesn't see any problems with a 2,300% profit increase, presumably as long as lazy average workers don't try to take advantage of it by not taking a wage cut. And he did say, very difficult wage cut. See, empathy. Sit down, listener, this is going to shock you. The truth was the Securities and Investment Commission, ASIC, after conducting an industry-wide review, concluded insurers have not done enough to put customers first. Goodness me, doesn't that hit like a bolt from the blue? Who would have thought? Don't think it needs any further comment. See where a house in Lismore inundated, with the woman occupier having to take refuge on the roof, from which she was airlifted by a helicopter, had her insurance claim rejected because the insurance company declared roof damage was caused by the helicopter. Apparently all the flood damage below the roof didn't count, leaving us to ponder what the hell ASIC's talking about. A truss, as we know, is often worn to control a hernia, but when the hernia is called Boris, it's difficult to see the truss getting the job done. And when a particular truss declares former Her Most Gracious Majesty's home country Supremo Maggie Thatchedhair her idol, we'd suggest it's a lost cause from the start. Some obviously long-haired commie greedy wooden worker in an iron sort in a vox pop had the audacity to suggest she lacks the common touch, showing how out of touch she, the vox pop woman, was, because the trust trying to keep the hernia in place is in the House of Commons. After Solomon Islands Supremo Manasseh Sogavare declared an election would have to be postponed until 2024 because the country couldn't afford to host the Pacific Games and hold an election, and True Bluewasi offered to solve the problem by paying for the election, Sogavare accused True Bluewasi of interfering in the democratic process. How dare True Bluewasi interfere in my democratic decision not to hold an election, he exploded. We presume his devotion to personal democracy has nothing to do with the small fact that were the election held at the normal time, he might lose. In the week that was sport, a bag of white powder trumps sexism, misogyny, domestic violence and sexual assault. As one woman commented this week, Channel 7, The Age and a couple of good sports radio outlets were quite happy to honour sexism, misogyny, domestic violence and sexual assault. Just one of the boys, apparently. But a bag of white powder landing on a casino table? Too much for them. Thus, Wayne Tit's caress has been stood aside pending. But if the pending turns out to be even inconclusive, we assume he'll be back, because what's wrong with a sexist, misogynist, domestic violence, sexual assaulter? Apparently, his value to those corporations also trumps all the aforementioned. I've mentioned before, even though I have the ABC radio sound on for the footy, when he's on the screen, I simply have to turn it off. And while True Blue Aussies were apparently supporting another charmer, the tennis brat who smashes rackets, abuses everybody in the stadium, including his own support team, no idea why they put up with it, well, other than he makes lots of money and they get a percentage, spits at spectators and spits the most cruel and vile and hurtful comments across the net about his opponents, let's remind ourselves, next month he's due to appear in a Canberra court on a charge of alleged domestic violence. The good thing is he lost. What a relief. Smashed a few rackets and we can move on without him. Finally, the Capitalist Review, True Bluewasi Capitalist Review, in a very well-argued editorial following Philip Lowe Wages for You's declaration, we must have wage cuts, advised the Socialist Party to heed his advice and not let lazy avaricious workers and evil unions destroy the economy. And we can be sure the great corporations announcing record profits will endorse such wise advice. Oh, and finally, worth noting, King Big Ears, Charles III, that the last King Charles lost his head. Good morning.
Thanks, Kevin.